Rock and Roll Chicken Shack Hotline is where Michael Felder is currently, and he joins us now in the zone. Michael, welcome back. How are you today?
Doing fantastic. How about you guys?
We're good.
Good, buddy.
Spring football is wrapped up for some. It is about to wrap up for Arkansas this Saturday. When you look at spring games and you look at spring performances, how much of that are you able to glean as far as future performance when it comes to fall?
I think there's a couple things you can take away from it. As a whole, though, they're so scripted, they're so vanilla, they're so watered down. When there's Alabama and them saying, yelled and estimated they only used about 10% of their playbook, or if, you know, a team, you know, some other team that they're not allowing their defense to play anything except for a base four-man front like we saw out of Ohio State. It's one of those things where you can take a little bit away. I think what I usually look for are guys having missed assignments. Whether you're playing, especially when you're playing vanilla, missed assignments are killers. That's how guys get wide open in football games. That's how quarterbacks throw the ball to the wrong spot in games. So you want to look for limited missed assignments. And then the other thing you want to look for is just physical dominance. Because, vanilla or not, if your offensive tackle is getting whipped by your defensive lineman, you've got a problem.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you, which thing you think is more likely, Florida State repeating as national champions or Auburn returning to the national championship game?
I think that Florida State edges them out by a little bit. I think Auburn's going to be in the discussion, but right now I look around and I think that Auburn, you know, they had a great year in 2013. I think they were a little ways away, but the dominoes fell in place for them. And it'll be interesting to see if those things fall into place a second year in a row. I think Florida State, as far as a team is built, they're built to repeat. And I think that's the scary thing for folks in the ACC.
Keith Lee Service Company Live Fan Feedback. Michael, DH in Pensacola says, please tell Bama fans to step away from the ledge, don't panic, and don't shoot anybody. Just because the spring game didn't go well with the QB position, and just because Saban needs to consult with NFL QBs and coaches, and just because Lane Kiffin is trolling the sidelines, and just because there isn't a lot of confidence from experts, there's no need to freak out. Go buy some Auburn gear. What's your take on Alabama with the offseason moves, the quarterback question marks, and bringing Peyton Manning to campus, which... it's just strange. I don't know if it's a good thing, I would think, but it's odd.
Well, I think that if you're Nick Saban starting on the Peyton Manning thing, get somebody who's an expert at working on in terms of pre-snap reads. We always talk about how great Manning is at pre-snap reads and what he's looking for. Nick Saban's got a problem with that on the defensive side of the ball. He doesn't know, you know, he's not sure what people are keying on and how he can take that away with his defense. Pick somebody's brain about that. Coaches and people have been talking with folks about this forever. It's not new now, so there's no reason to panic. Saban talks to people all the time. That's how you get better at your job. So I look at that as not a big deal. As far as the quarterback play, like I said, it was a vanilla situation. Blake Sims especially was limited by the inability to run, the lack of, you know, kind of invented play calling, a play to his strength that he's shown a couple times during the spring. So I think what we're going to have is a three-man race. Cooper Bateman will be in the mix with Sims and Jacob Coker, the kid from Florida State. We'll see who wins. But right now, if I was Alabama, I wouldn't panic, especially with the way the defensive line looked in that game. It looks like they went from having guys that stood on the edge, you know, Jeffrey Pagan and Ed Spence and guys that held up and let linebackers play, to having guys, in addition to A'shaun Robinson, DJ Pettway, Jonathan Allen, that can hold their point but also disengage and then go make plays on their own.
I'm not sure what the relationship is between those two with Peyton and Nick Saban. I'm not sure how that came about. But other than the fact that, you know, they're both elite at what they do. But if Julius Peppers and Lawrence Taylor went and did a defensive camp at NC State, how PO'd would you be? I mean, they're working with a team that is playing against – it's a rivalry game against Tennessee. It's really a weird situation. You would be pretty mad, I would think, if those two guys went over to NC State and did a defensive clinic.
No. Dude, everybody's got to get better, especially if they've got different ties. I just look at it for me.
I'd be pissed.
I'm not as tied to that as a lot of folks are. He's trying to get folks better. If Tennessee calls him, I'm sure he'd come back there too.
Okay. Well, I think I just thought those bloodlines ran a little deeper than that. Maybe I was wrong. I don't know. We were talking about Florida earlier in the show. Nobody has much faith in Will Muschamp as head coach, at least not in our studio. He's got issues coming back. Certainly last year was devastating. I don't know that, you know, any coach could have helped out with the number of injuries they had last year. Don't have a lot of faith in Driscoll. What are your thoughts on Florida going forward? Can they rebound quickly? They certainly got to make a bowl game at minimum, right?
Yeah, I think this is a team that is set up to rebound quickly. They have some depth. They have guys on the defensive side that are going to be healthy. I think you pointed on those injuries. Good grief. They were hurt every week, a new position going down. Started with the quarterback. They're playing a kid that nobody thought Tyler Murphy was going to be playing quarterback at Florida. He didn't think he was going to be playing quarterback there in an actual game. So it's one of those things where that happened, you move forward. I think they've got an opportunity to get better on offense. At least now they have a plan, something they haven't had under Will Muschamp, with the exception of that surprise, hey, we're going to run every play season in 2012. So now they've got a plan. I think that goes a long way towards success. Everybody's on the same page. I don't think they're going to transform into some explosive, high-flying, point-scoring offense. But as long as you have a plan, if you can put 28 up on the board in a game, I think Will Muschamp's defense is good enough for you guys to pull out, for Florida to pull out a lot of wins.
Michael Felder of BleacherReport.com joining us in the Zone of the Stickies Rock and Roll Chicken Shack Hotline. First year of the playoff this year coming up, which is going to be exciting. Those semifinal games, I think, are going to be especially intriguing, which is something we've never had before. To me, it's the similarity of the – I get as excited about the AFC-NFC Championship weekend as I do the Super Bowl, really. And you get two games instead of one, which is a lot of fun. But which conference do you think this is going to benefit the most, and what do you think the odds are that there will be a multiple participant from one conference this coming year?
A couple of things. One, I think in terms of benefiting from a conference standpoint, I look at the money, and I think all of the Big Five are going to benefit tremendously. These guys are about to rake in money hand over fist, depending on who gets into the mix. If we got Florida State in there, that's the ACC. If Alabama or Auburn or both end up there, I think that those are your two chances out of the SEC, the most likely chances entering the season to get to that level. Then you've got two teams in that mix. I think out in the Pac-12, they've got Stanford, Oregon, UCLA should be in the mix, and in the Big Ten, Ohio State and Michigan State are going to be clawing for that. So I think everybody's set up to succeed. Oh, I left out the Big 12, and I think that they are the team that's kind of going to be on the outside looking in because they don't have an elite team right now, and they've got a lot of work to do. But these teams are poised to, these teams are poised to succeed. I think in the grand scheme of things, probably the SEC is the most likely to get them in there, but I think the Pac-12 isn't very far behind.
Speaking of that, and I wasn't even going to bring this up, but since you mentioned it, Charlie Strong is a guy we all root for here, although we're really torn now because we are taught in Arkansas to hate Texas and root for our own, so we're sort of torn on this deal. But what do you think how soon will it take for him to have an impact and them to be successful back to what Texas fans consider to be a Texas standard?
I think they're going to show flashes of it this year. The problem is going to be just consistency and having buy-in. And you look at Charlie Strong. You talk about tearing down a foundation and rebuilding something new. That's what he's doing with Mac Brown. And it's not always easy for these players. They've been hearing all spring, hey, we've got to get better. We're not where we need to be. We've got to get tougher. We've got to get stronger. We've got to get bigger. And they keep hearing that over and over again. Him saying they're not going to make it to the national title, that reemphasizes that idea that they have a long way to go to get better. I think when he looks at that program, he doesn't see the 4 or 5-star guys that everybody else saw when they were recruits. He's looking at them and he's thinking, I had a lot of guys that were better than this at Louisville because I got to grow them the way I wanted to grow them. So I think it's going to take him probably, I think in year two, we can expect a big jump in terms of sitting around, getting close to the top 12, top 15. I think this year they're just going to show some flashes, and I think that's a big plus.
Michael, I was looking at the Bleacher Report website, and there was a story on there about Arkansas's upcoming football schedule and just how brutal it is. Have you gotten a chance to look at it, and where do you put it in terms of toughest in the league?
Yeah, it's definitely not just the league, but in the country. I mean, you look at that. First of all, you've got to play in the SEC West, which I think that's trouble by itself when you throw in Alabama. We've talked about Alabama and Auburn right now as possible playoff contending teams, so that's already two of those teams you got to play. You throw in LSU, who continues to simply rebuild. That's a problem. And then you mix in a Texas Tech team that's been on the rise, an A&M team still in that SEC West that looks good. Georgia should be better next year. So I look at that and I think absolutely, and you get down to the bottom of the schedule, and after you run through, you play Auburn, you play Texas Tech, you play Alabama, A&M, you got to play Georgia from the other side of the division. And then you close out the season with an Ole Miss team that I expect to be extremely explosive on offense and to have a very good pass defense, and a Missouri team that we've seen play the last few years. We saw play last year with their head on fire. They lose some pieces, which I think is a plus for Arkansas, but they still have Matty Mock coming back at the quarterback position, and he's not going to be an easy out.
Matty Mock. I think he's a good play. I like Matty Mock.
Yeah.
I like him a lot.
Michael, we appreciate it. We'll touch base again soon.